John 1 from verse 29. Our reading today follows on from our reading last Sunday, where some of the Jewish leaders were interrogating John, asking him who he was, and he said he was not the Messiah, but one who came to prepare the way. John 1 from verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one."
Good morning. Great to see you here this morning. My name's Dave Shannon. I'm one of the ministers here. If you're here for the first time, special warm welcome to you. It's wonderful to have you with us this morning. I'd like to kick off with a verse from Psalm 119 because it's all about God's word. Oh, actually, is there a... Here it is. There we go. Here's my verse. "I delight in your commands, which I love." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your commands, for your word, your instruction. Father, please help us delight in them, to love them, that we would so know them and put them into practice in our lives, that we may bring you honour and glory. Please help us do that this morning, but help us do that every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you set a New Year's resolution. In preparing for this, I read 74% of Australians set a New Year's resolution in 2025. Do with that whatever you wish. But we often hear people making New Year's resolutions, don't we? You know, do more exercise, get fit, lose weight, live healthily. Maybe it's save money, reduce debt, budget, get organised, declutter, be more productive. Or maybe it's learn a new skill. People often set New Year's resolutions because it's a natural time of year to reset and start the new year with a clean slate, a fresh start, having reflected on the past, ready to set goals for the year ahead. People are looking for a fresh start. Now, you might be thinking, "Hey, Dave, it's not the 1st of January. It is Good Friday." That is true. But Good Friday is also a good time of year for a fresh start. But unlike a New Year's resolution where motivation fades, we lose motivation, we feel overwhelmed, we lack immediate results, and so, or any other reason we make to give up, this fresh start is life-changing. It has eternal consequences. A fresh start. Would you like a fresh start? We've been reading through John's Gospel together this month, and we have met John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an eyewitness who saw Jesus in the flesh and was actually sent by God to witness, to testify, to tell people about Jesus. And the word in our passage there is verse 32. It's the word testimony, or other translation, he bore witness to what he saw. That is, he was there. He was on the scene. And if it was today, he would have a t-shirt that says something like this: "I bore witness to Jesus. I saw him." But John was actually a big deal back then. People would flock to hear him teach. And lots of people wondered, was John God's promised future king? But John made it clear again and again that he wasn't. He was, in fact, preparing the way for God's future king. In verse 30, he says, "He surpasses me and was before me." You see, John's saying, don't look at me. I'm nothing. God's promised future king, Jesus, he is greater than me and he was before me. You see, we saw this back in at the very start of John's gospel, where we learnt that Jesus is divine, he's eternal, he's the creator, he's the giver of life. You see, John is doing his job of pointing, bearing witness, testifying to Jesus. But what is it that John says about Jesus? We'll have a look there from verse 29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God pointed to the sacrificial system, the sin management system. You see, God in his mercy, in his kindness, he provided a way for Israel, for God's people, to deal with their sin, where an animal died in place of a person. Lambs were offered every day, morning and night, at the temple. But there was also a yearly Passover lamb, where they would remember that God had passed over them because of the blood that had been painted on the doorpost. But notice he's the Lamb of God, not a lamb, but the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb par excellence. He is the best, greatest of them all. He's the Lamb of God who takes away sin. That is, he deals with sin. He takes it away, and it's the sacrificial sin management system where a substitute takes the place of another. But notice that the word is sin, singular, not sins, plural. You see, sin captures the totality, all of the world's sin. It's not just a number of individual sins, but sin, full stop. But what is sin? You see, if I was to take a microphone down to Ballast Street sometime this week and asked random people down the street what they thought sin was, they would probably say, well, it's breaking the rules, the naughty little things I do from time to time. But actually, the Bible paints a far bleaker picture. Sin's our attitude towards God. And in the opening book of the Bible in Genesis, we read this in Genesis 3, we see sin in action. And it's that first time of sin that infects all of humanity since, where Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they were saying to God, shove off. I'm in charge, no to your rules. You see, sin is living in rebellion to God. Because God is the maker and sustainer of all things. He owns it. He rules it. And yet sin says, up yours, God. I'm in charge. Go away. But this is out and out rebellion. And the result? Well, God's fair, measured, right judgment. In the early 1900s, a London newspaper asked prominent authors, what do you think is wrong with the world? And G.K. Chesterton gave a one-sentence response. Dear sir, I am. You see, G.K. understood the reality of sin's presence in life, in everyone's life. We are the problem. You see, here's our predicament. We are rebels without a cause against God, our maker. We are the problem. We deserve God's right, fair, measured, just judgment. But the Lamb of God takes away sin. You see, the Passover lamb was killed. Its blood was painted on the door frame. The lamb died in place of another. The sacrificial system, a substitute was made, the lamb in place of another. You see, no human could do this. One flawed person can't take the place of another flawed person. But the Lamb of God, the eternal creator, life-giving one who became human, he can. He does. The Lamb of God takes away sin. But for who? Well, for the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the world refers to all of humanity living in rebellion to God. See, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Saviour of the world. Not just you, not just me. You see, in our individualistic world we live, we often just think of ourselves and maybe our family. But it's not just for me or you, but for the world. Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A world living in rebellion against God. You see, as John the Baptist sees Jesus, and as he speaks, he has the prophet, has a prophet from the Old Testament in mind. Isaiah was writing in the 8th century BC, about 700-800 years before Jesus. In Isaiah 53, we meet a suffering servant who was despised, he was rejected, he bears our suffering. I've got this up on the screen from verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. You see, Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, like a lamb led to the slaughter, who takes away the sin of the world. Three times we see he bears our sin. He will bear our sin. And then many, many years later, we see Jesus hanging on a Roman cross, the day we celebrate today in Good Friday, and the Lamb of God taking our place, our punishment that had been promised so many hundreds of years earlier, where he would bear the sin of the world, suffering for us, for our transgressions, our iniquity and sin, for our rebellion. You see, Jesus, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He does this for our good, to give us a fresh start. But you see, unlike the sacrificial system, which back then had to happen day after day after day, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he does it once for all, never to be repeated. I don't use social media, but I hear a hashtag that people use quite often is New Bike Day. You know, we live in a world where technology is always changing, and so when someone gets a new bike or a new phone or a new computer or a new car, whatever, it's a great day. All out with the old, in with the new, New Bike Day. And while the sacrificial system was good for Israel, it never dealt with the problem once for all. They had to do it again, day after day after day after day after day after day. But the sacrificial system was really only ever there to point to Jesus, who was the true reality. You see, as he hung on that cross, he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He does that to offer us a fresh start. But John the Baptist also reveals that Jesus was God's chosen one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So if you've got your Bibles there, have a look from verse 32. John says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And again in verse 33, John's told by God who sent him, what that means. Have a look there from verse 33. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. God's chosen one baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit coming down on people was something that happened, regularly is the wrong word, but would happen from time to time in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the book of Judges next term, and some of the judges were given the Spirit, as were some kings and tradies. And the Spirit was given to the receiver to help them with a particular task. So as a judge or a king would lead people in battle, God would give the Spirit to help them in that task. Same with building the temple. But the Spirit could also be taken away. You see, King Saul was a classic example. He rebelled against God, and so God removed his Spirit from him. But with Jesus, the Spirit remains on him. You see, Israel, they've been looking for a new ruler, a new king, because they've had so many failed kings over the years. But there was hope. There was hope for a promised age of renewal of God's promised future king. And again, back in Isaiah, which we looked at before, but chapter 42 this time, I've got it up on the screen, it says this. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Here is God's servant, his ruler who will bring justice and peace to the nations, to the world. But notice, he's my chosen one. You see, this is where we get God's chosen one in our passage in verse 34. But not only is he God's chosen one or Son of God in other translations, but the Spirit remains on him. You see, Jesus, he's God's chosen one in whom the Spirit remains. But not only does he have the Spirit, he dispenses it. He gives it to others. So that in verse 33, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And again, this is keeping with some of more of God's promises from the Old Testament, this time from another book, another prophet called Ezekiel. He was writing about 600 BC, so 600 years before Jesus. And again, I've got the words up on the screen. It says this. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see, God is promising that someone will come to give us a fresh start, a washing away of sin, a giving of the Holy Spirit so that God's people can live for him. And this was the work of God's chosen Son, who does this in us when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when we trust him. Years ago, I had a nose job. And now most people get nose jobs to make their noses straight. Mine ended up being crooked, but you know, that's another story. These things happen. But I had a general anesthetic, but that was just for my nose. What if I'd actually had a heart operation? Well, God puts us under when we trust him. He cuts open our chest. He rips out our heart of stone, our hearts that live in rebellion to God, a heart of sin, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you. He gets rid of that heart and gives us a heart of flesh, a spiritual heart, and he puts that in so that we can live for him. You see, this is God's work within us. He does it in us. And all we do, we saw this in verse 12 a couple of weeks ago, we receive and believe Jesus. You see, we can't have we can have a fresh start when we trust Jesus to be the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, my sin and your sin. You see, God's chosen one, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and gives us a fresh start, a new life. You see, people flocked to John the Baptist to be baptized, but that was only ever a bath, an external wash. But Jesus, he offers a fresh start, an internal change, a change that leads to life and hope and salvation. You see, Jesus offers us a fresh start. But here is the question for you this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Is he just some ordinary dude? Some carpenter who rocks a sweet beard? Is he just some moral teacher? Some guy my family's on about? Or is it just some tradition that we seek to follow and do just because we do at this time of year? And so ignore what the Bible teaches. Or do we see Jesus as special? The one who does offer us a fresh start. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God's chosen one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus deals with our greatest problem on the cross. Our opposition to God, up yours, our rebellion. And offers us a fresh start, a new heart with his Spirit, a life in which we can serve God. Well, I pray that we'll see Jesus like that this morning and always. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that as we celebrate him on this Good Friday, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father, we do pray that we would see Jesus correctly, clearly, and live for him. Father, please help us in that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.